From the county farmer, another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers, having found you guilty, 10 years.
What?
Come on. Get that set.
I was in jail, too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice, that's what you find, just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to Crossroads. This is Roach Brown and Mertine, and we have our distinguished co-host, Nkechi Taif, will be joining us shortly. Crossroads comes to you every Tuesday from WPFW 89.3 FM. Crossroads is heard around the world. And to my good friend Rick in Germany, I'm expecting a call from because I need some information from you, Rick. So tune in. Crossroads is an international global show. And I just want, before we start off, I just want to say that a good friend of mine passed away a couple of weeks ago, and it was suggested that he do something on him. This guy was quiet, a gentleman. He was an angel without wings, and he always did stuff for people and didn't ask for anything in return. So it was suggested that we do what's called the Daryl Stoudemire. Do something for somebody. If you want to feel good and you're down and you're broke and you don't feeling sad and depressed, make one effort to make somebody smile, laugh, or feel good. Don't ask for anything. Don't accept anything. Just do the Daryl. Do something to make somebody feel better. So it's a movement. In fact, I went out to Peterbug's Shoe Academy at 13th and E Street in Southeast over Pennsylvania Avenue. And Peter Bug has a shoe academy. He's been teaching young kids how to fix, repair shoes, leather crafts for the last 40 years. They named the street after him. The cookout was one of the biggest ones we've seen in a while. And as we went through the crowd, Mertine and I, folk were saying, do the Daryl, do the Daryl. I didn't know that many people had listened to the show. So do the Daryl means doing something nice, kind, and good for somebody. I don't care what it is. And don't ask for nothing and don't accept nothing. Just do the Daryl. So this is a whole movement coming on. So keep your eyes and ears open because we'll be doing a lot of doing the Daryl. Thank you. Also, sorry that we had time for us all to get involved. We had a big community day down at Shiloh Baptist Church in 9th and P. And folks, it was off the chain. It was one of those events that for the entire family, we had Chinese, Vietnamese, Spanish, Black, White. It was a conglomerate of all kinds of races and people coming together. And to the men of the Shiloh Brotherhood, the pastor and the Shiloh family, thank you for allowing us to participate and joining us on that community family day at Shiloh. That's the first of many. And to Brother Ralph Lee and my man, Dr. Cash. I didn't see you down there, Cash, but I missed you. Thank you for the folks at Shiloh Baptist Church for allowing us to have our community day. And that's been, that was an evening or weekend that folks, that it was just unforgettable. So don't forget, do the Daryl every day. Make somebody, if you want to feel good, make somebody else feel good. If you want to do good, make somebody else do good. Give somebody a compliment or a praise or do something. Make them feel better. And the beautiful part about it is don't ask for nothing and don't accept nothing. Just say thank you. And that's is one of the things we wanted to share before we do the grapevine. Now we get to the grapevine. Information that you can use. The grapevine. Hey. Immigration crackdown lifts private prison stocks. So far this year, prison operators of the GEO Group and Core Civic are outperforming tech and energy giants alike. Crackdowns on immigrants living in the U.S. unlawfully have faded from the headlines, but President Trump's detention campaign is still moving forward, and it has made America's private prison companies among the best performing stocks in this year. Shares of GEO Group and Core Civic are up 82% and 51%. They aren't only outpacing some of the tech industry's brightest stars, including Google, Parent, Alphabet, and artificial intelligence chip darling Qualcomm. but also Chevron, ExxonMobil, and other energy stalwarts that were bullioned by the war in Iran this year. How the Supreme Court is tightening early prison release. In recent decisions, the justices restricted the bipartisan First Step Act that President Donald Trump signed in his first term. What counts as an extraordinary and compelling reason to let someone out of prison early? I'm going to say that again. What counts as an extraordinary and compelling reason to let someone out of prison early? A terminal illness, advanced age, a family emergency? For all three, the answer in the federal system is perhaps, but also probably not. But what about a sentence that Congress now says is too harsh, or if a judge later doubts whether a person was rightly convicted in the first place? Since late 2018, the answer here has also been maybe, at least in some federal courts. That changed last week when the Supreme Court majority answered no to both scenarios, right tightening the mechanisms of compassionate release in the federal system. In two separate decisions, the justice ruled that compassionate release cannot be used to revisit doubts about a conviction or to reduce a sentence that would be considered excessive by today's penalties. I wrote an article years ago called 8 Ways to Get Out of Prison Without Escaping, and compassionate release is one of the ways that you can get released without completing all your sentence, but if you have extenuating circumstances. Now the Supreme Court is rolling that back. They're tightening it up and making it harder to get out of prison. The Supreme Court rules government cannot bar marijuana users from owning guns. A notable 9-second Second Amendment decision that features 3 concurring opinions, all of which make good points. Today, the United States, the Supreme Court ruled that the Second Amendment prevents the federal government from banning gun ownership by marijuana users. Usually for a Second Amendment case, the ruling is unanimous. It's a significant application and extension of the court's 2022 ruling in the Bruin case, which sought to put more meat on the bones of Second Amendment rights by establishing a history and tradition test for reviewing gun regulations. It's a great moment for those of us who both support strong Second Amendment rights and hate the war on drugs. The Supreme Court suggests any compassion for criminal defendants is too much. Congress gave judges the power to shorten the prison term if extraordinary and compelling reasons warrant relief. But the Republican justices on the Supreme Court won't let judges do their thing. Man, what's going on? What's going on? The Supreme Court will find any excuse to keep people in prison. And if they can't find one, they make one. There's a line in the Bible that says, those without sin cast the first stone. If the Supreme Court had been suspected of breaking the law, committing crimes, and they're just as guilty, as crooked as everybody else, why should they sit up on top of everybody else and make laws to punish, penalize, execute, and incarcerate people? And yet they're just as crooked and doing just as shady, underhanded, devious acts as everybody else. That old thing in the Bible. He without sin cast the first stone. And that's been what we call the grapevine from Crossroads. And thank you for tuning in. All right, we get to our show this morning. We invited 2 gentlemen in. Both Mertine and I will go all over the city. Every week we have funerals, programs, conferences, conventions. And we meet people all over the city. And the folks we've been meeting are folk on the front line who are always involved. And I got 2 gentlemen here today. We called in to see what's going on in this city, what's happening with this. They're on the front line everywhere we go. I see Chris Thomas from the 100 Fathers, Ron Hampton, Tyrone Parker, and a few other folks. These folks are doing the Lord's work. When you do something to make it better for somebody else, you're doing the Lord's work. And it doesn't matter what religion you're on. We're talking about saving lives and helping our community. And I have 2 gentlemen who have a vast knowledge, expertise, and experience on what's going on in the city. We want to hear from them so you can know exactly what's going on in the city. And our first guest for the first half hour would be Mr. Ron Hampton, the Institute of Black World 21st Century Police Accountability Task Force. In the second half hour, we'll have Chris Thomas, the director of the 100 Fathers. Good morning, Ron Hampton, and how you doing?
I'm fine, my brother. How you doing, Roach?
Man, it's always a pleasure. Anytime we call, you come, man, because you're on the front line. Every time I turn around, you're at this meeting, that meeting. You're at the city council. You're all across the city. And he's a former cop, and I met him a long time ago. It's just when I retired, y'all, from the underhanded things I was doing back then. So I've been retired for 45 years, Ron.
I know, Roach. Oh, man, it's just a pleasure, man. It's a pleasure to be here, and it's a pleasure to also be part of what you're doing, too, man, because, you know, it's about information. And like old Kathy Hughes always says, information is power.
That's right, man.
And we need to have as much power as we can get.
We go back with Kathy back there in the 70s, man, with Petey Green. He was up on WOL. We used to do the show every Sunday night, once a month. Petey Green and Herb Barksdale and Rudy Yates.
That's right.
That's about 40-some years ago, man.
Yeah.
Ron, what's your take on what's going on? We just had the election. Janice Patterson. Janice just won the primary. For mayor.
Said Janice Patterson, George.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, George.
I didn't have my Kool-Aid this morning, man. But I don't get my Kool-Aid, I'm twisted.
You know what? Let me tell you, man. I mean, her and McDuffie were the front runners all along, and it was going to be one of them, and one of them did. Better work than the other one in terms of, you know, talking in the community, being in the community, reaching out, talking with people and whatnot. I wasn't really surprised with the results, man, because I went to a couple of events over in Ward 8, and then I've been to some other events and talked with people, man, but I just wasn't surprised. And then Free DC, which Harriet's Dreams is a part of, and they endorsed her, and they have a pretty good, strong following in the city. So I really wasn't surprised. I think she'll be fine, you know. But the reality in all of this is this: that what has happened in our city for the last 12 to 15 years is not going to be turned around in 4 years. It may not be turned around at all, or 8 years, or at all, because the gentrification that has taken place here has turned this city upside into something down. Other than what we knew and what I personally have been used to, you know.
You know,
and I'm all over the city, but you know, it's just not the same DC.
You know, Ron, back in the day when Marion Barry came out of prison, we organized the returning citizens to vote.
Right.
And there's been a lot of returning citizens participated in this election. And if you look across the country, there are people with criminal records running for state legislators, for Congress, Senate, judges, prosecutors. So there's been a big movement all across this country of people with criminal records getting involved in the political process. And they have to, because you go to prison because of the laws that were passed. And these people write the laws so they can unwrite the laws and make the laws more palatable. So if somebody who do run into the criminal justice system, you'll know exactly what's going on. I just want to say this, that the returning citizens in Washington, D.C. played an integral part in this current election in PG County. There's a guy over the jail now who's an ANC, Advisory Neighborhood Commissioner, while in prison. It's been the second or third one.
So that's
men
right.
and women
that's
are running right. for office while incarcerated that's over the D.C. Right. jail as a representative of the Advisory Neighborhood Commission.
That's
so because you and Chris is all over this city, what do you see, Ron? What do you think? I'm talking about the curfews, how things are coming down on our kids. The Carmelo Anthony case down in Texas, the 15-year-old, the little guy stabbed a guy at the track meet and killed him with a knife, and he got 35 years, and he said he was taking a trial by a jury of his peers. He was 17. Shouldn't his peers be 17, 18, and 19?
Not only that, somebody black needed to be in the, in the jury pool, too. Somebody black needed to be in the jury pool. Let me say that again. And there was no one black in the jury pool. And that would be a direct jury of his peers. But that's a bad case, man. And I hope that the NAACP and others are going to get behind him and be able to appeal it and plus get him a new trial. Because what I've read about it talks about it was self-defense. But again, when you've been around as long as we have, what took place in Texas, I really wasn't surprised. I mean, you know, because Texas is known for the kind of thing that happened in this trial, and the prosecutor and other people knew they were all friends and whatnot of the family and whatnot. They had pictures floating around of all of these people being together in the past. So, you know, the kid got a bad deal, but that happens an awful lot. And it continues to happen because we haven't been able to reform the criminal justice system in the way that it should be reformed. It works well in its intention because that's what it was intended to do, what it does right now, but it hasn't. As far as this city is concerned, I'm not necessarily a proponent of the curfews because the new people got gentrification and the youth got curfews.
Incarceration.
And incarceration, that's exactly right. And then they got a crazy person down there in the U.S. Attorney's Office that want to lock everybody up and prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law and all that kind of stuff. And you know, for some time, the district was moving away from that. That's why we were able to talk about, or you were able to talk about, that young lady who now it has handed the rim, that the handles of the ANC thing over to a guy over there, and he's gonna that hasn't taken place nowhere else other than Washington D.C. That a group of people who are incarcerated don't have to be disenfranchised just because they're incarcerated. They have representation, and they're doing a hell of a job. Those are the kind of things that we need to be running with and doing, and there are organizations and individuals in the city who are responsible for that. That's right. So working with those folk down at DC Justice Lab, man, because they've been doing fantastic work about raising these issues and pulling people together. And you don't have to agree with me. You don't have to live with me. But if we had the same, if we're in the same place when it comes to criminal justice policy and practices, then we need to be pulling together to get this together. Because if we don't, we will be, like you say, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. We're on the menu.
Good morning. We've been joined by our distinguished co-host Nikeecha Tribe. She's back from Ghana, and she called in last week from Ghana. So our show, Ron, has been going around the world. We did the show twice down in New Orleans. We did it up in Martha's Vineyard. We did it in Long Beach. Everywhere we go, we try to do the show. So Nikeecha was in Ghana, and she called in.
Good
morning, Nikeecha Taifa.
Good morning, Voting. Good morning, Von Hampton, my most favorite former retired officer. How you doing, my brother?
Good morning, baby. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, it's been a while. But I agree with everything that you're saying. I don't think the curfew is the answer. We need to get back to some of the policies that, we were doing back in the day when, I know when I was on the front lines. Well, you're still on the front lines, Ron Hampton. But what can we do to bring things back to where it appeared as if the things were shifting with respect to criminal legal system reform here in the District of Columbia and dealing with our youth?
I think the first one of the things that I think is on the way to that, because it's difficult. I think we had to be honest with ourselves and the people we work for and work with, that it is tough. But the people down at the DC Justice Lab, Nikeecha, has put together a group of people. They've called together a group of people. They've had a press conference. I participated. They have put some stuff in writing. They have disseminated the information to the candidates. They have continued to market this information about what it is that we need to be doing. And it's the same kind of stuff that you and I, Roach, and all of us have been talking about for years. But we need to constantly refresh people's memory and mind about the things that work rather than talking about something that's new and it didn't work and where we're going. One of the things that for example, the chief of police is tentative. And so I suggested to them, and I'm not taking no credit, but I suggested to them that we should go back to having citizens of the District of Columbia participate in the selection process for our chief of police. And I mean our chief of police. He don't belong to the mayor. He don't belong to the city council. It's our chief of police. And the mandate for him or her to do their work is based on what it is that we want as citizens and residents of this city. And so they've been disseminating that information, and hopefully this mayor didn't do it, but there was a time when I served on a task force a couple of times for Marion Barry and other citizens in the city, and there's a process was and still in place for participation to take place. Those are the things that we got to argue and fight for and not give up on. And then too, in terms of our participation in the process, if you've been doing something for 50 years and it don't work, how many more years do you have to do it to find out that it don't work?
Mess. That's right.
Let's stop playing with ourselves about that and go ahead and start something new. And we can do that. And we're in a position where we can change it. And then if that don't work, then we can go again. But this idea that we had to stick with something for 50 years or 60 years just because this happens to say that is totally ludicrous, man. And then the federal interference in
that's
our
what
business.
I want to hit. Yes.
Oh
yes.
Man, it's just unbelievable. But again, not to be surprised, because this man, he can't even run his own business. Must let's run our business. Let us run our business. But I feel like we're safe, because the reason that we have home rule is because of the Congress. It wasn't a presidential order. It was the Congress who gave us home rule. And so he just can't arbitrarily come and take it and then all of a sudden change it back, because that's what he wants to do. And so we had to know that. But people have to be educated. That's why I was up, Roach, I was up at Walter Reed Park the other day for the a home rule festival that was up at the park. And I'm telling you, it was a whole bunch of people up there. They really celebrated. And we need to celebrate home rule. That was something that was fought for. We got it. And everything that's good, we need to try to work on it and hold on to it as long as we can. But the people turned out. And then let me tell you this. Chuck Brown's band, his son turned that Johnson out. It was so, Nikisi, it was so, my wife and I was up there. It was heartbreaking. I didn't even want to leave.
Yeah.
Those young people, and this band is old, but his son, they remind me so much of Chuck and the music that they was playing. It was fantastic, and we enjoyed it, and the people had a chance to talk about some of the issues. You know, I do a little volunteer work with AARP, and they were one of the sponsors, and so we were up there celebrating and really having a nice time, and that was really good. I hope that we're able to enjoy some of those things this summer, because in light of this stuff that's going on around us at the administration and then turn to the economy and whatnot, we need to try to find some entertainment and solace in all of this craziness that's going on. I'm feeling good about that, but we got some challenges ahead of us.
Last Saturday, it was stuff all over this city. Everywhere you turn, it was a program, an event, people getting together, mobilizing, organizing. And again, at the top of the show, we suggested do the Daryl. Sure, we get together and we dance and party and eat. But folks, let's do something in the meantime while we're doing that to make it more meaningful.
That's
help
true.
Somebody. You see somebody fall down, pick them up. Give somebody a 50 cent or whatever. We pay for people's lunches. If we got it and we see a family, Daryl a day. Do a Daryl a day, and you would be amazed. We got to come together. I'm tired of going to all these programs, parties, and conventions, funerals, etc., and everybody get in their car and go back home. So, oh, that was nice. But what are we doing? We need to get together. Our next guest will be we give us some of that. Our good friend Chris Thomas. But Ron, what you're doing, and Chris, and the teaching people all over this city, we got to do something other than just we enjoyed it. We appreciate it. Let's do the Daryl. If you don't like the Daryl, do something else. Do something for somebody, and don't ask for nothing from nobody. And if you you watch how things begin to catch on. We got to start a movement, man, to get something going. Because I'm so tired of seeing us going to jail, man.
Yeah, no, I like that. I think that I think that this idea about Do the Daryl is fantastic, and it's something that's needed in our community, because there are things, you know, one of the things that I'm often surprised about when I attend some of these meetings in and out of the city, they talk about the individuals in our community, black men, for example. They talk about what's going on in the city and what they're doing. And so they are doing things, but they don't, across the spectrum of our community, we don't always know what it is that's going on, and we don't know where people are working. But I can tell you, at the school where I work out in the Southeast, about 60% of the individuals that come and pick up their children are black men. They're doing the Daryl. When there are events at the school, they just had graduation or promotional, and black men was there with their children, and they loved to dress up their children, and they were celebrating, and I'm telling you, it was tears coming out of our eyes, but tears coming out of the children's eyes, because they just going to remember what it was like those years in elementary school. And we're doing these things, but we don't necessarily always talk to each other about them, nor is it coordinated. One of the things that people say about our city sometimes is that we're resource rich and coordination poor. And that's because people don't always know what it is that's going on. You know, there's an old saying about the right hand don't know what the left hand is doing. That happens sometimes, but we just have to talk to each other about it. And I appreciate what you and Martine are doing as you move about the city and come into contact with this information and then pass it on, because is this so important that we know what it is that's happening and where it goes. Look, they're remodeling Crummell Elementary School over in Ivy City. I went to Crummell. That's just how old I am, Roach. I went to Crummell. And man, you know, so they're going to turn it into a community center. It's going to really be nice. Policing them over at the...
Let me cut it, Ron. We got a few minutes to go. I just want to throw this in before we bring Chris on.
Okay.
Also, Sunday was Father's Day, and we went to Union Temple, our church, and Pastor Anika Brown, boy, she lit the church up. Pastor Willie Wilson, I go back 30, 40 years. Yeah. When he stepped down and gave it to her, I never saw a woman pastor. I've been going there for over 30 years. Man, what she did Sunday and how she lit that audience up and talked about the role that black men and fathers had. Uh-huh. And it had me crying in church, because my father never told me he loved me. He never took me to dinner. I never hung out with him. We never played basketball, no sports. And he never even said he liked me. He never put his hands on me. Mm. My father never hugged me. And I'm sitting there thinking about all these things of your father putting his arm on your shoulder, taking you to the corner, to the basketball court.
Right.
I never had none of them things. I didn't know how to be a father. But this lady, Pastor Anika Wilson at Union Temple, boy, she lit it up. And I want to say thank you, lady. We're going to have her on, because she is a pastor. Yeah. I've seen so many black women now as pastors and preachers. I thought I was against
That's
Jack,
right. That's
I was being a damn fool.
No, Rose. Listen to this. Black men, as old as we are, there was a different role in our society that we assumed. It didn't. We thought showing affection was a different thing, but you can always come back.
Yeah,
you can always come back from that and show our children, show our families, show our community, people in our community, that we love them and we're a part of
it,
and that we're gonna take care of them. And like you talking about this Daryl thing, Do the Daryl. This is that. That's perfect. Because you give back so much. You do so much in the community.
We got a couple of minutes, Ron. You want to give some closing remarks and how you can get in touch with you if they want to reach you?
Well, my numbers and email is never has changed. It's my number is 202-744-2897. And I answer my phone. It has a mailbox on it, but I answer it and I return calls. My email address, it's a bunch of letters, nbpanatofc@att.net. It's the acronym for National Black Police Association National Office. I was at the organization for over 28 years, and I kept the email address because 28 years is a lot of time to put in and have friends. And I want to and still do remain available to them for advice and whatnot.
Give the phone number one more time.
Okay, it's the email address is nbpanatofc@att.net. And the telephone number is 202-744-2897.
And I'm glad you kept that same email because I always know how to beat you, Ron Hampton, my brother. Yes, indeed.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to see you all.
Thank you, Ron.
If y'all need something, you know how to get in touch with me. And I'm going to do the Daryl.
There you go. Do the Daryl. Do the Daryl. And also, thank you, Ron Hampton. Institute of Black World, 21st Century Police Accountability. I've been on Ron for 40, 45 years when I just retired from breaking the law.
Go ahead, boy.
This is WPFW. Your station for jazz and justice.
All right, then.
You know what's going on. This is where you want to tune in.
Okay.
Right here.
And I just want to say thanks to Peter Bugs. Program over there at the Peter Bug Shoe Academy. We walked through the crowd and I didn't know so many people were listening to the show and they was telling us they were doing the Daryl over at the Peter Bug Academy. So we got something going, man. Just do something for somebody to make somebody feel good. Now we're getting ready for our next guest.
And if you want to call in, the call in number is 202-588-0893.
Our topic this morning is public safety, and we got two frontline warriors, soldiers who've been on the front line for years. And these guys, action speaks louder than words. They don't talk it, they do it. Our next guest is none other than Chris Thomas, the director of the 100 Fathers. I met this rascal a few years ago, and man, he haven't stopped working with the kids, making things better for fathers and children. And when I see folk who are, like, to me, are superstars in the community. They are community superstars. They do whatever needs to be done to get the job done. So good morning to Chris Thomas of 100 Farmers. Good 100 Fathers. Good morning, Chris. How you doing?
Yeah, what's up? What's up, brother?
How you doing there, young man? You ain't got a hat on.
Well, my hat? Oh,
yeah, wait a minute.
I got to tell it to the hat, man.
You know you got to tell it to the hat this morning.
Yeah, man, listen, I got so many different fitted hats. You ain't never lied, man. Yeah. It ain't a 100 Fathers, then it's a Narcan. It's one of my other ones, all my trademarks and all type of stuff. So, yeah, you're right about that. And I wear a lot of hats. That's the real thing. In real life, I wear too many hats. So
there you go. Share with our audience. What you are doing, you just gave some of it, but what is it, 100 Fathers, what the role and the purpose of 100 Fathers, and what you're doing in the community now, because we see you all, man, I'm going to get another lock on my door, because you don't come in my house, but I see you just as much as I see my own house. You everywhere, man. So what is 100 Fathers doing, and what are you doing to help fight some of this foolishness in our community?
Well, yeah, 100 Fathers, I'm executive director, newly assigned in the last year. Primarily, we do rites of passage, so teaching young men and young fathers basically more who they are. We obviously deal with returning citizens. We lead by example. So we have multiple different programs that we do. I'm a fatherhood leader, facilitator, basically, master trainer in all of the different facets of what's going on. So that's dealing with your mental health. That's dealing with you being a product of your environment. That's dealing with, again, if you had an absent father, unfortunately, and stuff. It's dealing with the grieving piece. We mix the domestic violence, the mental health, and now we mix the overdose prevention. So we pretty much meet you where you are, you know, whether it's you need workforce development, whether the financial piece, but a lot of it, again, is just helping our men, you know, get to where they need to get to, basically, and giving them resources, help them out with the therapy piece, help them out with who they are as a person. And then when you know who you are more, it's a little easier for you to be a better father.
Yeah. So what are you doing? I mean, in the community, what do you see need to be done, man? Because they're talking about they got the National Guards in Washington, D.C. Man, I've been over Southeast, all over this city. I haven't seen the National Guard, the two most highest crime wards at 7 and 8. I haven't seen the National Guard in Ward 7 or 8 yet.
Yeah.
They're downtown by the government buildings, the White House, the monument. And every time we see them, they got a popsicle or soda and they're walking in threes and fours. I don't see them interacting with the community, with the kids. They're not in the high crime neighborhoods. So what the hell is the role of the National Guard just walking around the city getting paid and they're talking to each other? They don't even talk to the community, to the people.
I'm trying not to laugh, man, but everything with you, Ron Henry said, I'm going to say something what he said earlier, too. I mean, it's sad to say, but you're answering your own questions. I mean, you just said, I mean, they getting a check. You getting a check. If you don't got to work hard, why would you work hard? I mean, that's just reality. I mean, you don't got to go hard, you know, to show results. I mean, yeah. We already talked about who's in charge, you know. I mean, sad to say, sometimes them not doing something is even better for us. Mm-hmm. I will say I'm all over Maryland, D.C., Virginia, definitely all areas of Southeast, Northeast, Northwest. They are 14th Street. I will say that. They ain't real big in the real aggressive parts of Southeast, not as much. But I've seen them. Slamming people at 8 o'clock in the morning, taking my daughter to school just last month, basically, and stuff, pressing them out. And I kind of do some of the cop watch stuff. It just depends. I've seen them in Northeast. I've seen them grab some of my juveniles up and stuff like that. I've seen them in a lot of, not the guards 100%, but they have because they stopped the carjacking and a brother who got pistol whipped just a few days ago and stuff like that. They were right there. Could there be more in the more impoverished communities, more of the aggressive communities, the ones that are at risk with high crime with our juveniles? Of course they could. But reality is people have to understand they're not trained in the public eye. You know, and stuff like that. It's the same with FBI and DEA and DIA. And we go down the list of all of that stuff. You know, 90% of these officers don't have emotional intelligence training. You know, they go off of emotions. They don't go off of, you know, logic. They see and they react immediately. That's why people get shot all the time, because they don't know how to talk to people. And also they don't know how to talk to our people. But at the end of the day, sad to say it, again, when are we going to get officers that look like us? Every time we get officers look like us, you know, they Uncle Tom, they this, they that, they a sellout, they was a bully in school, all this stuff. So reality is, it's a long list of stuff that's going to have to change, but they're definitely here for the rest of this year. They're going to be here next year, too. Like I said, in 2025, they did it just to start it. At the end of the day,
let me ask you this. I'm going to put you on the spot. If you were the mayor, what would you do to deal with this youth crime problem? Not the youth, the curfew, because it ain't the crime is going down in Washington, D.C., and they keep jacking up the figures. If you were the elected mayor, what would you do to change this stuff around in the city?
If I was the mayor, what would I do? It's good that I'm great at speaking on the spot. But on a serious level, tens and tens of millions of dollars will be going into workforce development and youth jobs at the end of the day. I would give more grants out to business owners, especially Black business owners who hire our youth at the end of the day. Right now, a big problem in PG and DC is it's no jobs for the youth. And the youth are taking over everywhere they go. They don't like being in the house. They're obviously, because of the food and everything else that's going on, the mental health is like, hey, I need money. I want money. So either you're going to give me or I'm going to go get it one way or another. But I would definitely start with our youth. And I also would try to have, again, our elders be involved. I would pay more to community members. I pay more to church members. I would be paying all these places to be open. So rec centers are open. I would say rec centers are open almost 18 hours out of the day. I would say churches are open almost 18 hours out of the day. I would say schools are open. This is stuff that's already been done and tried throughout the United States. Maryland, D.C., Virginia does not do this because we do not have smart people in charge. I don't care what anybody wants to say, but like Ron Hampton said, people don't like to argue facts. Yeah. Like he said, stuff hasn't changed in 50 years because they don't want it to change. And I'm a PG County resident, and I got to go vote for 10 new human beings today, even though most of my people are independent now and on the Republican side. And go figure, I'm Democrat. So at the end of the day, people don't want change. We have to understand that. Yeah. My elders like the way things used to be. But reality is, they already said statistically that, guess what? $20 an hour now is poverty money. You make $20 an hour, you are still in poverty. That's $44,000 a year. You're not doing nothing in PG, DC, Virginia, unless you're in West Virginia, unless you're in the South. And then they can't afford it either just because of inflation. But to stay on topic here, I would stick with giving our youth something to do. Idle mind is the devil's playground. Everybody knows
go.
That.
There you go.
That's also when they're isolated, that's when mental health turns into play. That's also why the vaping is such a big issue. So everything that's happening right now is not by happenstance. It is by design. Yeah. It is the narrative. And go ahead.
We got a guy on the phone. He's been waiting for a while. Rick from Germany. Come on, Rick. He calls in every month, man, from Germany. Come on, Rick.
I love that. I love that.
You're on the air, Rick from Germany.
Can you hear me okay, Roach?
Yeah, I can hear you. Come on, brother. Speak up a little louder.
Okay, I just wanted to say happy belated Father's Day to all the black fathers with a job or without a job who have remained true to their children and tried to be there for their children, to encourage them to stay in school and to walk the right path. Happy belated Father's Day to all the black fathers there in the DMV, and especially in Ward 7 and Ward 8, where I come from. Now, Roach, I heard you open the show. You said you needed some information from me. Is it something we can do in public, or I'll call you.
We'll talk in private. I'll call you, Rick. Give the engineer your number.
Okay.
Okay. How's your health, man? I know you've been sick. How you doing?
Roach, I'm dying slowly. My belly is crawling with a bunch of maggots.
Go ahead. Hello.
This Secret Service poison is overwhelming, Roach. I just want to say that if I had a father when I was young, if my father had been there for me, and if my mother had not accused him of rape, leaving the military, things might have worked out differently for me. But I didn't have a father. I cursed my mother when I was a child, and I'm paying for it now. I just want to say to the young people, there is hope. Don't give up on your family, even if they're struggling with issues. Don't give up on your family, and don't give up on school. Roach, I'll talk to you in a minute.
Thank you. We appreciate you, man. All right, go ahead. Go ahead, Chris. You can pick it back up again.
But I said we invest in our youth. Right now, if you talk to a lot of youth, which I talk to a lot of youth, I have an almost 17-year-old daughter. At the end of the day, they say we want to have fun. The difference is their terminology of fun is not our terminology of fun. We obviously do go outside, do all this stuff. I'm not going to go down the list. It's a lot of moving parts now. It's a lot going on with the youth. And again, they're hitting puberty, not at this age 17, but more like at an age 9 now. This is something people don't talk about, what the food is doing to our kids. This is something that is always overlooked. Everybody's saying, why are our kids so angry? They say, why are our kids so violent? They say, why are our kids, on drugs so much? They say, why do our kids not care about education? They say, why are the parents their best friends? These are the questions I get asked all the time. At the end of the day, a lot of this goes directly to food. It goes to your environment. It goes to church. It goes to, social media. It goes to mental health. It goes to access to drugs and food and all of that. But like Trayon White says all the time, you are what you eat. If garbage go in you, garbage come out of you. And again, a lot of our demeanor and the things we're doing on a daily basis starts with just our diet. And when we don't eat, when we do eat, when we're, coping with our stress different ways, this comes directly from me talking to the youth. They always say, we just want to have fun. We just want something to do. We do want a job. We do want a job, but they want to do what makes sense to them, and they want the job. They don't want the job did 7 a.m. in the morning, 12-hour shifts. You only get to eat one time in the middle of the day and stuff of that nature. But why not go ahead and allow them these new jobs? Give them stipends. Other places like Chicago, Newark, they have given them money just to come to school. We got so many issues going on directly in our direct area, but we got all the money. These are the richest counties in the U.S. From Loudoun County, Fairfax County, Howard County, PG County, we got all the money, but we got all the problems. make it make sense at the end of the day. Beautiful. But we got to start it. But parents, it has to be more new. It has to be parents in classes. Parents have to get a stipend to go to these classes. I'm not against, everybody wants to throw kids, you know, put the kids in jail. I'm not on putting them directly in jail, but they're going to have to learn that they have consequences. With JLG being the new mayor, I like a lot of the things she says. I'm cool with NeNe and a lot of the people. I'm on both sides of everything. I play the devil's advocate. I see all the stuff that's going on and what's not going on. I talk directly to the youth. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you have to understand that anything you do in life has consequences. At the end of the day, you cannot go out here and do something to one of our elders or do something to another juvenile and you think it's funny because you can post it online and you can get millions of views at the end of the day. And I'll slow it down with this. Our kids need to start idolizing somebody else. Our kids don't idolize their parents anymore because their parents, we're looking at the trauma. We're looking at everything that's going on. I look at this from a big circle, a circular effect. I don't look at it just a, well, this is what my daughter does. This is what my son does. I'm going off of when I'm looking at throughout the United States, what's going on. I'm looking at directly in our area. I'm looking at all the different elders. I'm looking at the different organizations, the different mentors. But at the end of the day, it all comes back to the root cause. This is our issue, like you said. Things got to change. You can't say that you want change, but you've been doing the same thing for the last 10, 15, 20 years and go, I wonder why we're getting the same results. But school has to, unfortunately, we're going to have to incentivize these kids sooner or later on school. We get incentivized to go to work, they're going to have to get incentivized to go to school.
You know, you said something at the beginning about our youth and that everything should be open 18 to 24 hours a day. Churches, schools, synagogues, everything should be open at 18 to 24 hours a day so the kids got someplace to go. I've been pushing this thing, or we've been pushing this thing about Marin Bar Summer Youth Job Program. That's a beautiful program. But they don't have work for 90 days, and they get a check for 90 days. All of a sudden, the check is cut off, and you got to live the other 9 months of the year with no income coming in. People need money to live. This is the bottom line. All this jiggy boogie, they didn't cut out Job Corps. 30,000 jobs been cut out in Job Corps. They cut out the food stamps. Daycare money. They're going to spend $14 million to drain the reflecting pool, and it's jiggy boogie, and you got people that ain't got nothing to eat, no place to stay. You said it. Kids can't even go home. They don't even have a home. There's so much drama and tension in the home. Then they talk about locking up the parents, and the parents are strung out, or they doing whatever they're doing in the house.
Make it work.
So they make it work, and so they just compounding the problem. We need jobs. We need social services. We need mental health services. We know what it takes. Yeah. It don't take no $20 million, $14 million to drain no damn reflecting pool. Give us the $14 million, and we can make it safe.
And we got another caller on the line, Roach. Got another caller.
All right, come on. We're on it. You're on the line, please. K-C. C.
K-C.
You're on the air, please.
Yes. Happy sunrise to everybody.
Thank you.
I just want to continue on what you're saying, Roach. If you have 70,000 youth and you only have 10,000 summer jobs, what are the other 60,000 youth are going to do?
There you go. There you go.
And now with the curfew thing, we always had a curfew, but our curfew was when the street lights come on. You get your behind in front of this house or on this porch. This shouldn't be rocket scientists with the curfew. Every home when we grew up should have and had a curfew. It should be the same today. Children should not be allowed to run all over the street without chaperone and their parents not knowing what they are. That's common sense. Okay? This is what has to happen. Now, I just want, we need the meeting of the minds now. This sister has won the election, basically. She said, I owe everything to what I am and what I'm becoming to Willie Wilson. She's a member of Union Temple Baptist Church. That's telling us she's not going to be a Anthony Williams, who Marion Barry and Willie Wilson handpicked him, and when he got in, he turned his back on them, and when he didn't even want to become mayor. So I think this is different when it comes to this sister. She is acknowledging Union Temple. She wants to be a part of the community. Now it's time for the meetings of the minds with Tony Moten and Trayon White, all those who say they're involved, Tyrone Parker, to meet with this sister, with Willie Wilson, so we can come up with Murrenberry-like programs.
Beautiful.
This has to happen. Okay? You know, I just wanted to add that.
Thank you. And I'm glad you said that. I forgot to mention that we were at Union Temple Father's Day. And she was there, and she spoke, and she lit it up. Again, I'm seeing more and more women as Janice George win the primary. Dr. Anika Wilson Brown, the pastor, the senior pastor, Willie Wilson's daughter, who is the pastor at Union Temple. Man, you're seeing women making all kinds of remarkable strides and whatever. I'm impressed with her. She's a member of Union Temple. We've been going to Union Temple for 30 years. And I'm telling you, I'm encouraged in what I'm seeing and hearing. But I know it's going to be a long, long road. It ain't going to happen overnight. As Ron Hamlin said, we got 50 years to get to this position. It ain't going to happen in two, three years. But with guys like Chris Thomas and Ron Hampton and folk working in the community, we need you. We got another caller on.
Hey, Ghost.
Hey, Ghost. You're on the line, please. Question or comment, Hey, Ghost.
Yes. Good morning. Thank you, Doctor. I love your show. I've been here in Washington total 44 years. Brother Murrenberry was a great man. Let me tell you, I know you said about education. You know, I'm hoping we, our children and our grandchildren for the future, yes, to live and survive on this earth. But when we see, when we hear the candidates, who are they? Do they serve us? Do they administrating us or controlling us? Why am I trying to say that is the education, what you say now, even though we wish it, we are replaced by the AI. You go to every store now. They deny to hire human beings like me and you. They are now putting a machine, self-scanning. What did the mayor do? How come they didn't stop them, these corporations? Are these candidates scum by the corporates, by the money, by the media of corporate medias or not? Future, our living on this earth is going to be just hope that they are eliminating us. We're not extending. We are not really adding in coming for the future of our survival. Because if I take it to Michigan, the auto manufacturer, not anymore now. It's okay. Us, which is romantic. So the education, what you said is, what kind of education is that? Is that to bring in your job? Is that for the future to live on this earth? No, it's not. We are surrounded. We are totally. As you said, remember, he was a great man. He used to bring the summer program for the children. Not anymore. Even though we're here, I mean, we wish it and we hope it. But we should talk about it. Who are you? Are you going to represent me? I said it in 2019 to Ms. Bowser.
Thank you for calling in, brother. We got to move on. Thank you for your comments. We got to move on. We appreciate your comments. Chris, the other day at church, I looked up and I saw you and other Chris. It made me feel so good. I'm sitting in church and here go one of my warriors. I see y'all in the streets feeding people, helping people out on. And you had a suit. You had a suit and a towel, man. I ain't never seen you with a suit and a towel.
I know, man. It's rare, man. It's rare. Trust me. I almost ain't do it.
What do you think about that service Sunday, that Father's Day service at Union Temple?
I like that actually he did drop it to his daughter. She did show a lot of love, a lot of respect. I hope that gets serious now. The black women have to put money behind us and support us. I know y'all see it in a different light. So much division amongst us, and it's getting bad. I just hope we really start to support each other the way that we used to 20, 30 years ago. If our people, our young generation, can learn from y'all, we'd be good to go.
Give us your phone number and how to reach you, Chris. We're running out of time. Give us how to contact
you. Oh, yeah, I got you. 240-723-4735. Email chris@empas.org. And then I'm on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. all of them, but reach out to me, text me, email, call me. And I thank you. I thank you, Mr. Roach. Thank you, everybody on here, for having me. And I just try to be more of a vessel and learn to listen more so I can learn more from my elders.
Tell it to the hat, man.
Thank y'all.
Thanks a lot. Our guest has been Chris Thomas. He's the executive director of 100 Fathers with Dr. Frank Malone. And them guys doing a fantastic job. We try to bring you people who are doing things, who are making a difference. And I want to thank Ron Hampton for joining us for the first half hour. We'll see you next week. And remember, your inner voice is never wrong. And in the meantime, find a way to do the Daryl. Do something good for somebody. Make somebody feel good. And watch how good you will feel. That's the way to get a lot of this stuff off your shoulders. Just do good for somebody and don't ask for nothing and don't expect nothing. Until next week, Merry Christmas. And remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas.
Before they notice me, another job that I just can't get, a nice apartment the landlord just won't rent. I go to bed, but my sleep just won't come. My belly's empty and my brain is numb. Nobody saw me walking, and nobody heard me talking. Seems like I gotta do wrong. Before they notice me, seems like I got to do wrong. Before they notice me, I go to bed, but my sleep just won't come. My belly's empty and my brain is numb. Nobody saw me walking, and nobody heard me talking. Seems like I gotta do wrong. Before they notice me, yes I do, oh yeah. Seems like I gotta do wrong. Before they notice me.
The Pacifica elections are underway. Help keep your station strong by nominating and voting for national and local station board members. Your donation of $25 or more on your station's website between July 1st, 2025 and June 30th, 2026 will secure your membership and eligibility to nominate and vote. Please donate before June 30th and you will get a Nominate Now email or text with candidate information from Pacifica Foundation, Inc. Confirmed candidates will be on the August 15 Pacifica Foundation ballot. More information about Pacifica elections, candidate registration, and the candidates can be found at elections.pacifica.org.
Beloved gay activist Wanda Alston was a fierce advocate of housing programs for homeless and at-risk LGBTQ youth. On Tuesday, June 30th, WPFW presents The House That Wanda Built 2026, our annual Pride special programming. From 12 noon until midnight, we'll broadcast voices, share stories, and present music honoring the life and legacy of Wanda Alston. That's The House That Wanda Built 2026, here on WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
The D.C. Metro Chapter of Jewish Voice for Peace presents the No to Nationalism Concert and Craft Market in solidarity with the people of Gaza and migrant communities here on Saturday, July 4th, 12 to 5 p.m. at Rhizome, D.C. An afternoon of bands and DJs, including the Freedom Futures Collective, DJ Underdog, Leon City Sounds, and more. Details at rhizomedc.org.
The D.C. Legendary Musicians, a 501c3 nonprofit organization, announces their 20th anniversary celebration to be held Friday, July 10th at Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Library, 901 G Street Northwest, Washington, D.C. The program begins at 6 p.m., and the theme is Spirit, Sanctuary, Silence, and Sound, with an evening of music, memory, and recognition. Details are at dclmusicians.org. WPFW, Building a Better World, one broadcast at a time.
WPFW, Washington, 89.3 FM.